Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the attic that smells like a basement in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring Four Left Feet performing a tango of trivia, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today we continue our series, which I think you've dubbed Head of the Heist.
Yeah, I wanted to sort of keep it on theme because it's like the previous ones have been Head of Whatever. And so Heist, Caper, it's all in the same wheelhouse, right?
Yeah, Head of the Class, Head of the Helm, Head of the House, Head of the Heist.
Could be Head of the
Brilliant.
Caper. There you go.
All right. So let's see. What have we done so far? We've done our distraction.
Yep.
And we've done our muscle.
Our strongman.
And Mikey's doing video game stuff. Yep. And I'm doing stuff from TV series. Those are our limitations. And so far, Mikey's got a turtle in a cloud as his distraction.
Yes.
And remind me what you're...
A giant gorilla.
Oh, yeah, it's a Donkey Kong. Yep. And I have Bill Burr's character from Breaking Bad and Mr. T, B.A. Baracus from The A-Team.
Oh, I still want to see that buddy cop movie.
I know. This would be good. All right. So, Mikey, who do you have for your number three driver? Who's the getaway car driver?
This one
in this heist.
I think this is the one that's the most difficult based on my video game restriction. Because when you think of driver, you think of like vehicles and racing games, but there's rarely like an associated character. You know,
mm-hmm.
Usually it's you that's the driver. You're in the front seat. So this one was a little weird, but. Starting off with the silly one for third pick, as par usual. My third pick for driver is going to be Spy Hunter.
Yes.
Spy Hunter is technically the name of the arcade game. It's an old 83 arcade game from Bally Midway. It's a top-down sort of James Bond-inspired shoot-em-up, you know, side-scroller, I guess, top vertical scroller. The driver doesn't have a name. He's just a spy. He is the Spy Hunter, I guess. But his car is the coolest car. It's like a Knight Rider type car. And in order for it to be my third pick, it does have to include the weapons van that is also in the game because I picture them as a 1-2 combo. So while my driver's getting us away, we're going to be driving into the weapons van, getting a weapons upgrade, maybe some, you know, surface-to-air missiles, some machine guns and oil slicks, all the cool stuff.
Yep.
But he doesn't have a name. It's not a person. It's actually just the Spy Hunter car for my third pick.
No, I think you're right. I think the Spy Hunter is in there.
Yep.
Hunting spies.
Which means he's good for a heist team if he's already a spy type person and he's already mysterious, so.
I used to love that game. I must have had it on one of the consoles. Did they have that on Atari?
It was one of the earlier ones. Atari, maybe Nintendo. I don't think it was Super Nintendo. I think it came out before mm-hmm. then, but my guess would be Nintendo.
You might be right. I'm not sure. I don't remember because... I'm so old. I've had so many consoles over the years, yeah. But I remember playing Spy Hunter. I remember playing it with quarters, and then I remember playing it at home. It's one of the ones where you ever have that thing back in the day where you're so happy that it's available to play at home so you don't have to like waste rolls of quarters.
Oh, yeah. Especially on like a game like Spy Hunter where you're dying like every 30 seconds.
Yeah. So it's funny that your number three is Spy Hunter because my number three... which was going to be my number two, but I bumped it, and we'll explain when we get to number two, is pretty much the TV version of that. And I also have to say, too, that this was kind of, even for the television, was kind of hard because almost all the getaway drivers in heists or in heist movies, there's really not a ton of shows that are just about a getaway driver.
I believe it.
You know, so... Anyway, my number three pick is a fella named Michael Knight.
Yes.
Played by David Hasselhoff in the 80s show Knight Rider, which is pretty much Spy Hunter. It's the truck and everything. But So Knight Rider, for anyone who doesn't know, is an 80s show that made David Hasselhoff famous. Why is David Hasselhoff famous? People say Baywatch. Nope.
Nope.
Not Baywatch. And Baywatch was act two of David Hasselhoff's career. Act one was Knight Rider. David Hasselhoff was the backstory. I didn't even realize. I watched the show all the time when I was a kid. It was very popular with my age group when I was a kid. I remember a lot of kids would talk into their calculator watches to call Kit, the crime-fighting car.
On my way, Michael.
But anyway, I didn't realize that part of the backstory is do you remember this? Do you know this? That he was a police detective, and his name was actually Michael Long. In the middle of the case, he was double-crossed, led out into the desert, and shot in the face, and left for dead.
What?
Yeah, I was like, is this Breaking Bad? I mean, so he was rescued by Wilton Knight, the guy who runs the Foundation of Law and Government, known as FLAG.
Ooh, I like an acronym.
And he gets his injuries repaired and gives him a new face and new fingerprints and a life as Michael Knight. And apparently his face is based off his son's face. So you get some of those fun, like, evil twin character stuff in the future thing. You know, they put a beard or mustache or something on David Hasselhoff and do that kind of jazz. Oh, the 80s. You gotta love it.
And it can't be the evil twin without some sort of facial hair to let you know that, like, oh, he's got the bad guy goatee.
Yeah, totally. So anyway, Michael Knight works for FLAG, and he has a car, an intelligent car called Kit, that has the cool, like, the head. Well, it's not a headlight. It's its scanning eye or whatever. I don't know what
looks like
what
a Cylon. A Cylon eye.
Looks like a Cylon eye from the original Battlestar Galactica. And it has that whoa. It's just the car was cool. The cool black car. David Hasselhoff with his height of his powers, you know, young, tall, leather jacket. He was the ultimate ladies man. And he was kind of a modern day knight in shining armor. And Kit was his horse, you know. So,
that makes a lot of sense.
No, that's his knight rider. Everything's on the nose. The 80s was so on the nose.
But that's so obvious, I, like, didn't pick up on it. And then you say it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, duh.
But ultimately, the thing that pushed him down to number three, he's perfectly capable of being a getaway driver. But I already called using B.A. Baracus's van as my getaway car.
Yep.
And if you're going to take Michael Knight and not take Kit, then what are you doing? And he's too much of a good guy, and I don't think Kit would ever let him even commit a crime or anything. Of course, this might be a Robin Hood team anyway, but still. Either way, Michael Knight, that's my third choice for getaway driver.
That's a great pick. I think he would handle the A-team van well because it's just as gadgety as Kit ever was or could be, you know? But also, if he's hanging out with B.A. Baracus and they're both good guys done wrong by, like, and had their life turned, you know, they're on the run because of bad circumstance, that's crazy. That's a bonding experience for them.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, but David Hasselhoff, he was the coolest.
He was the coolest.
Was. Wasn't, I know this is probably an obvious answer, but wasn't the voice of Kit somebody, like, neat?
Yes, isn't it the guy from Boy Meets World?
Is it? Oh, it's Feeny. That's right.
Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. It's Feeny from Boy Meets World. That's what it is. Thank you. I forgot about that, but that is the, what? Principal Feeny is the voice of Kit? Oh, that's great. And that is an excellent pick. But now we're on to second picks, number two. This is the probably a little bit obscure, but I think I have some peers out there that would recognize this name. But my pick, again, it's more the car than the driver, but both go hand in hand every time you play this game. Did you ever play the game Twisted Metal for the PlayStation?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
Okay, so Twisted Metal was an old school PlayStation game that was essentially just Destruction Derby in a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah.
Almost like The Purge. There's no laws. There's no road signs or anything. There's no stoplights. You just get to terrorize a city and try and blow up other cars. My favorite to play in that game was called Sweet Tooth, and it was a giant Chevy step van ice cream truck combo.
Oh, yeah.
That had a big old clown head, like, decoration on it, a topper, you know, like your pizza topper. But that was on fire, and it would just swing back and forth, and it was like a crazy, scary-looking clown, like Killer Clowns from Outer Space type stuff. So Sweet Tooth is the van and the name of the vehicle, and it's driven by a murderous-looking, crazy clown named Needles Kane. Not only does it have weapons like rocket launchers, machine guns, like just like the A-Team van, it also shoots fire. And it's driven by an insane clown-looking person. So I'm adding a little bit more intimidation to my cartoon squad. But yeah, Needles the clown driving Sweet Tooth, the fiery ice cream truck.
that's like the that's pretty much the when I think of the cover artwork for that game, that's what I see.
Yeah.
So what else was in there? I remember playing that game a lot, but I don't think I took the ice cream truck. I'm trying to remember what I took.
There was like a dune buggy with machine guns mounted on its roll cage. There was like a pimped out El Camino that had like rocket launchers and jets on the back of it. You had a couple, there was the big monster truck driven by two rednecks, like a brother, like Dave and Mike kind of dude that are just like, it's the end of the world. We want to be in a contest.
Bo and Luke Duke.
Yeah. But in an oversized monster truck with huge wheels and could throw bombs. They had like the cop trying to solve the system with his like overpowered cop SUV, but trying to like, you know, get to the guy that's putting on the destruction derby so he can shut it down. So they had a little bit of everybody.
I think I might have used that police car because I like flashy lights and stuff.
Yep, yep. I'm pretty sure there was a button to do like sirens and stuff too. So that was the extra bonus.
Oh man, it's listed as one of the co-op classics.
Yeah, that was one of the first LAN games I remember me and my friends just like wasting hours on.
Oh, there was a tank? Was there a tank?
Yep.
I probably played the tank. Anything military was usually my choice.
There's even one character, I forget what it is, I forget his name, it's like Spectre or something, but there's actually a ghost that drives one of the cars.
Because
the whole point, like, this is what I really didn't remember until I went and read about it, because the game to me was always just blow up your friends in other cars. But there was actually a narrative that, like, it's this guy putting on this purge-like contest, and if you win, you get one wish that it can be whatever you want. So one of the drivers is a ghost that's possessed a car, and if he wins, he's going to get a body back. Like, he's like, I want to become a real boy again by killing people with my car.
Kind of like Pinocchio, but
the twisted metal version.
Twisted Pinocchio. All right. That's a good one. That game was fun. All right. My number two was going to be the number three joke one, but I switched it because I thought Michael Knight, I couldn't say no to Kit. And I almost wanted to make it my first, but it would make my team so dysfunctional and stupid. But it's just because I love it. And hopefully it's going to make you laugh because it's so silly, but it works.
Bring it on.
What would you say if I said, did you see that ludicrous display last night?
They phoned it in.
So this is such a stretch, but he was a getaway driver once. I picked Roy Treneman from the IT Crowd, played so well by Chris O'Dowd, because in the episode Are We Not Men, where we learned about did you see that ludicrous display last night, he gets tricked into becoming a getaway driver for a robbery.
Doesn't he actually do a really good job, though, even though he isn't kind of like, I only vaguely remember that episode, but I remember him doing well, even though he's in like that crazy situation.
I rewatched it. Let's break it down. That's why I moved it to number two, because I want to talk about it for 10 minutes.
Oh, that's awesome. Let's do it.
It's so funny. So I play in love. I still don't know if it's supposed to be called the IT Crowd or the It Crowd. I think it's supposed to be called the IT Crowd.
I think so, but reading it, it looks like the It Crowd, so you think it might be something else. So.
But I think that's the joke. Anyway, it's the British sitcom from the early 2000s with Chris O'Dowd and Richard Iotti, and it's so funny. It's a meme factory because it's about a couple of IT nerds in the basement of this company, and so it appeals to nerds like me and Mikey. I mean, they play Dungeons and Dragons and stuff.
Yep.
And I mean, have you tried turning it on and off again? If you've ever heard anyone say that, Crowd's work comes from. Yeah, it's from that. So there's so many catchphrases. It's so memeable. It's like, and it's such a cartoon. It's like a live action cartoon in a lot of ways. And it's just, to use a British word, it's bloody brilliant. In this episode, Roy, who's played by Chris O'Dowd, the guy I'm picking, he finds a website that gives you information about football matches, which is soccer, of course, to the British. And it gives you like stuff to say so you can like hang with the regular men, the real men, quote unquote.
Yeah, so nerds can avoid social awkwardness by knowing how to talk about sports.
Right, and they like try it on the male guy. The male guy comes down and they try it on him and it works. And they're like, oh. And then they're like, let's go to a pub and try it there. So he and Moss, who's the other guy, they go to the pub, and it works so well that they end up becoming friends with these like very hooligan-y,
yeah,
like West Ham supporters, and it leads them to going to a football match where Moss is all uncomfortable because he knows they're going to get caught, and oh my goodness gracious! And they invite him to go play poker, but Moss is like, I can't take it anymore, and so he bails out. But Roy goes and plays poker. And then the next day he shows up and he's like, oh, they're like, how'd poker go? And he's like, I lost, you know, like 200 pounds or whatever. And they're like, oh, that bad? He goes, I usually do worse. And he goes, but real men are so nice. He said, don't worry about it. And then he gets a phone call from the guy, and the guy's like screaming at him, like, where's my money? Give me my money. And he's like all scared and stuff. And he goes, I'm just kidding with you. He goes, but you can do me a favor. Meet me at lunch. And so he goes over and meets them at lunch, and he's like, hey, can you drive us over to this thing? He's okay. He just like just a little needs me to drive him somewhere. They must not have a car, so use my car,
mm-hmm,
type thing. So they stop in front of a bank, and the guys run in there, and they pull down the ski masks, and they have sawed-off shotguns, and it turns into a Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels,
yeah,
film.
Definitely a bit out of that for sure.
Yeah. And Roy's like oblivious. He's like playing with the radio, doesn't notice. And then he looks over and sees the place getting robbed and doesn't realize it's the guys that's with him. Oh my goodness gracious. And he's calls Moss first, and Moss tells him to call the police. And he's talking to the police and he's like, they're coming towards me. Oh, they're getting in my car. Oh my gosh.
That's all Chris O'Dowd, though. He sells it so well. Yes. He plays that where he's a buffoon that would possibly end up in that situation, and you believe
yes.
it.
So, you know, and then they end up driving off and driving up a ramp into the back of a truck. It takes them two tries. And then the part where it's all dark in there, and then you hear him like, you know, like a whimpering cry voice. Says, so did you see the Lucas display last night?
He's trying to bond with his sports buddy in a very different situation.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny.
Oh
man.
That is the perfect callback for that episode too.
It's when I was sitting here going, man, TV Getaway Drivers, and I'm like looking stuff up and I'm like not really finding much of anything. And then I was like, man, should have saved B.A. Baracus for the Getaway Driver? And then for some reason it hit me straight in the face that Roy Treneman was a Getaway Driver once. So I'm putting him as my number two because it's hilarious and it makes me laugh and giggle. And it was so much fun to rewatch. And one of the most fun parts is when Moss shows up to the lockup they have and all the money's there and he wants to count it. And then the criminals get in an argument. So Roy like pulls Moss away and the police start showing up. So instead of hiding behind the bins, which is the obvious thing to do, Moss like grabs Roy and starts making out with him.
Yeah.
So the police don't notice. Oh my gosh.
That show is so ridiculous. Like you're saying, it's a cartoon. It's slapstick. It's antics. It's hijinks. Hilarious.
Yeah. That's my number two. Roy Treneman.
And you get
I could have made him my number one, but
yeah. You do get the bonus perk that if something goes wrong with our tech guy, which I think we're picking out here sometime soon, Roy could be the backup. He knows how to turn things off and back on again. Oh, I want to hang out with Roy though. That would be fun. But if that's your second pick, that means we are at the tippy top, the final ones. All I could think about, because I was saying I was having trouble, you know, thinking of specific drivers. Mainly that was because all I had in my head was Baby Driver. Baby from the movie Baby Driver. And if I could pick for movies, he'd be my number one pick. That's the thing.
Yeah. And movies have drivers. There's whole movies about drivers.
Yep. So I think this is a fun limiting exercise, but to take driving out of this whole heist equation makes it way more difficult. But along the funky music, fast drifting, high speed action lines of Baby Driver, I'm going from a driver from a game called Crazy Taxi. And it's super silly. The game is ridiculous, but there's one character in there named BD Joe, and he's the black guy with the bucket hat and the board shorts, but his cabbie always plays the best music. He always makes the most jokes while he's driving people around, And it seems like he's the best driver out of all the characters you can select. So, specifically, I'm picking BD Joe from Crazy Taxi, but, oh man, I can only imagine the ridiculous situations he'd be able to get me out of, because Crazy Taxi, for those that haven't played it, is essentially you drive a taxi all over the place, like jumping hills, going over buildings, going down ramps to pick up people and get them there as fast as you can to get the most points. What that means for my getaway driver is he's not afraid of anything. He'll go on the grass. He'll drive up water fountains. He'll go upside down in a tunnel to avoid the police. You know, all of it's fair game. And that's kind of what I want in a getaway driver. But kind of like I was saying with Baby Driver as well, it's cool music, because one of my favorite parts about playing Crazy Taxi is that the soundtrack was essentially all Offspring and Bad Religion. So that'll add to the fun soundtrack of our getaways when our heists are done, is just blasting some punk rock music and getting away.
Wow, man, Crazy Taxi. We're getting old. I would have, if you told me when Crazy Taxi came out, I would have not said 1999.
99 in the arcade, yeah.
I would have said it was way earlier than that, but man. So it was on Dreamcast, PC, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360.
Yep, GameCube.
Oh, wow. It was on so much stuff. How many Crazy Taxis did they make? Just like, the one?
No, they made like 1, 2, and 3, and then they made a bunch of like portable versions and app versions. So I think there's been like 7 or 8 total in the franchise.
Yeah, it's funny too, because there's a component in Grand Theft Auto that has like Crazy Taxi. Yep. There's like a Crazy Taxi mini game.
Yeah,
basically in Grand Theft Auto.
Yep.
Oh man,
but that was just another game I spent so many hours on. And so much crazy driving happening in that game. Just drifting, and you can make the car hop. Ugh, perfect for a getaway.
Did you know that there was a lawsuit over the similar gameplay in The Simpsons Road Rage?
Oh, I believe it, because it's the same basic setup. I didn't know there was a lawsuit, though. That's crazy.
It was settled out of court.
Ooh, I wonder who had to pay who. I'd imagine Simpsons had enough money to be like, all right, Crazy Taxi, here you go. We're going to do your game, but add some Simpsons characters in it.
Yeah, sorry we copied your game, but we did. So, Sega. Man, remember when Sega was a thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Whatever happened to old Sega?
They went proprietary only. They stepped out of the console game and went to just games, I think.
And weird movies about hedgehogs. Did you ever see that Sonic movie?
I did. After it finally came out, after being redone and re-graphixed, I gave it a shot.
I never saw it.
I was pleasantly surprised. Your boys would probably actually dig it, because it's like internet silly. There's nothing real bad about it. It's not a terrible watch by any means, but it's real lighthearted, and like, it's Sonic. So, I mean, how dark or weird are they going to get, you know?
Well, you never know.
True. But it's also James Marsden, Cyclops, you know? He's great. I like him. He's been in a few comedy movies before he got into the superhero game, but he's always had that sort of the dramatic actor that can do comedy as well kind of thing. So he makes Sonic work too. And then Jim Carrey. What's not to love about Jim Carrey? He's the perfect Robotnik.
That was like Jim Carrey hadn't done anything silly like that in a long time either, had he?
Mm-mm.
So, yeah.
Well, the last one I can think of was The Grinch, but that was even forever ago. I don't even know if there was a silly one after that.
Interesting. All right. That means, so your number one is Crazy Taxi Driver. What's his name?
BD Joe. Initial B, initial D, and Joe. The internet will not tell me what BD stands for. I'm guessing Big Daddy Joe, something like that. Just
Big Daddy Joe.
That's his cabbie name. He's like, hey, you're being driven by Big Daddy Joe. We're going to get you there. You want to listen to some tunes? Let's go. Like that whole thing. He was the most fun to drive. It was great.
Did the different cabs have different music in them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't remember that.
There was a main soundtrack to the game, but I think certain songs would come up more frequently if you were playing a certain person.
Oh, interesting.
So,
all right. So my number one is, dun, dun, dun. I don't even know if you're familiar with this show, and this show was actually on before I was aware of it, but has been in syndication ever since. It's one of those shows that's never not playing somewhere.
Oh, I got you.
And as such, I've seen it in reruns on and off here and there all over the place. Usually didn't pay much attention to it until fairly recently when I had stopped down on it, and I was like, wow, this show's really good, and it's from the 70s, and what a lot of people don't know is that a lot of 70s TV shows are super good because there's only like three networks, and they're all competing against each other. So they kind of, the stakes were raised in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah.
But I picked this guy because he actually has a car stunt move named after him.
Oh, neat.
I picked Jim Rockford from the Rockford Files.
I do know the Rockford Files. I may be cool. Seen a handful of episodes, but tell me all about it.
So do you know what a Rockford is?
Maybe, but I'll let you tell me. I can't picture it in my brain.
It's also called a Moonshiner's Turn, or usually called a J-Turn, because that's what it is. So basically, it is you go in full reverse pretty much as quick as you can. I'm going to show him with a little pen. You go in full reverse as quick as you can, spin that wheel, put on the e-brake, spin that wheel, and then shoot forward in the other direction. So it makes like a J shape and gets you going back the other way.
But spins the car around. Real quick 180 skid.
Yeah. And they did it so much in the Rockford Files that it became called the Rockford, because he had a really cool car. He had a gold-colored Pontiac Firebird Esprit.
Yeah.
And he always had the latest year's one. So obviously there was some product placement there with Pontiac at the time, because he always had whatever year the show was, it was that year's Pontiac Firebird. So James Garner, who's a great actor, he played Jim Rockford. He was heavily involved in the show and making of the show. So it always seems like a lot of times when that happens, you get a better product because,
people are more invested. They're actually.
Yeah, there you go. Investment.
Yeah.
And I mean, he actually won an Emmy for his role in 77. So that's how good the show is. So if anyone doesn't know, we'll tell you the basic story of it and then go on TV Land or your local UHF. They still call them that. I don't even know what they call them anymore. Your local affiliates is playing Rockford Files all the time. And it's worth a watch. It's worth getting into because it's just really well done. So Jim Rockford is a private eye. He's a private investigator. And he's kind of, it's funny because he's like down on his luck. It's very opposite, though this show came later, it's very opposite of like Magnum P.I., where Magnum P.I. was like living in, well, albeit it wasn't his because he was like the security officer or whatever, but he was living in a mansion still and using the mansion and using all the mansion's vehicles. And he had a buddy who had a helicopter and, he was in Hawaii and all jet setting around. But no, not Jim Rockford. He lived in a mobile home that was just parked somewhere. Like, it was literally a mobile home. It was on wheels and it was parked in Malibu, and he's like down on this, like he was an ex-convict, but he was wrongly accused and later cleared. So just like B.A. Baracus in a way that fits in there with that. And he doesn't want to get involved with the law anymore after that bad experience. So he only takes like cold cases and like small time insurance scams and missing person cases and all that kind of stuff, to just so he doesn't have to run into anything active with the police.
He's running on his own, right? He's a PI, almost like a mercenary.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's a PI. They made sure that he wears like off the rack clothes. He doesn't look successful at all. His only luxury, he has two luxuries. One is his Pontiac Firebird, which he's probably leasing because he has the latest one always, so probably just trades it in. And then also his other it's funny, they list this as a luxury when I was doing my research, and it shows you that this was the 70s, is his answering machine.
Oh, hilarious.
So having an answering machine was a luxury in the 70s. And they use the answering machine as a gag in the show all the time at the beginning. And it's always a little different who's leaving a message. And sometimes the messages have to do with like previous episodes and stuff. And it's really interesting. It's kind of fun.
That's neat.
And, he's a perfect getaway driver because he knows how to do. He had a freaking stunt turn named after him.
That's I had no idea. That's great.
Yeah. And the Pontiac Firebird, though iconic, is not anything special. So put him in B.A. Baracus's van and we're still good. And I'm sure he can pull off a J-turn in that, the way that thing's been modified.
Oh, absolutely.
I shouldn't call it a J-turn. I should call it a Rockford, which is what it is.
The Rockford Slide. I don't know. but also because he is down on his luck and a man of smaller means he knows how to make the best of a situation. So, yeah, you can put him in any car and he'll get you where you need to go. It's not vehicle dependent. It's the driver.
For sure. So seriously, I haven't been able to like lock down streaming on the show or anything. I just come across it. But when I come across it, I stop. That show and also Columbo. I stop on Columbo too.
Columbo's the best.
Yeah, Columbo's really good. That's another one of those 70s detective shows that's really excellent. But the thing that strikes me when watching The Rockford Files is the writing in it and the way it's acted is so casual. It doesn't, like, when I think of old stuff and a lot of old stuff from the 70s and 80s, it's, I don't know, it's just really scripted. You know, it just seems like they're not these people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like a school stage play sometimes. So like like soap opera type stuff. You know what I mean?
Slightly overacted, slightly predictable, slightly exaggerated. Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
The Rockford Files isn't like that at all. It's like this. It's very casually acted. You're very grounded. You feel like he's down on his luck. He's a good guy, but he's really smart about, he can flim-flam the best of them. He doesn't use a gun. It's so funny because Knight Rider, Michael Knight didn't use a gun either, but he has a gun, Rockford, but he doesn't use it because he doesn't want to get in trouble with the law anymore.
Because he's production bullets were expensive in the 70s, I guess. No, I'm just kidding.
So, yeah, well, you know, he'll get in a fist fight if he needs to, but he considers himself a chicken. So he likes to think his way out of problems, which is probably good to have in someone on your team. And one of the great things in doing the research, he's frequently seen eating tacos and sometimes has them for breakfast.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
That's a sign of a good team member. The Avengers showed us that. Avengers shared tacos. If you're on a heist team and your favorite food is tacos and you're bringing tacos for everybody, that's a solid team right there.
Exactly. And I guess that was kind of a thing in the 70s. Tacos weren't like tacos are now. Like, oh, he's eating tacos for breakfast, which to us is like, yeah, breakfast tacos.
No, he's actually just eating regular tacos at breakfast time.
Yeah, but I don't think people did that in the 70s.
Rockford did. He does his own car moves and he eats his own breakfast. What are you going to do about it?
So Jim Rockford, I want him driving. That character is so good. It was, let's see, TV Guide ranked him number 25 on the 50 greatest TV characters of all time.
Ooh.
And AOL, You've Got Mail.
You've Got Mail.
Named him one of TV's smartest detectives.
If he likes to think his way out of the problems before resorting to anything else, that makes sense. That's awesome.
Yeah. So Jim Rockford, I want you, you're driving for me. He's in the van. B.A. Baracus is the muscle. Bill Burr's in the back there.
Yep.
I mean, these characters, James Garner as Rockford, Bill Burr as, well, again, just like we said before.
Bill Burr.
Bill Burr pretty much plays Bill Burr. And no offense to Bill. I love him to death.
Yep.
And Mr. T plays Mr. T. So, and I don't know much about James Garner, but apparently this character of Jim Rockford isn't too far off from how he was, because apparently this character was based off of his character in Maverick, which was the Western that he was in.
Yep.
And apparently that guy was a lot like him too. So maybe he does just keep playing himself in different eras. So, but
I know him
either way.
I know him mainly from the main captain in Atlantis, the animated movie. And he plays that same sort of gruff captain, like, I'm kind of too old for this crap, but we're going to get it done sort of way. So I think
I think he
is one of those guys where, like, we love who you are. Please just show up and be you.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my crew so far. What do we have left? We have
two more spots. We have our brains and our tech guy. Person, and then finally we have the leader, the person in charge, the ringleader, the heist master supreme, I guess.
Okay, so next week we will do our brains and our tech guy.
Yeah, the man in the chair.
Ooh. Man in the chair. I think there might be some good video game ones for that.
I've been that's been on the back burner since I've been thinking about drivers this week, but I think I got some tickles in there that I can explore.
Yeah, I think there might be some good ones there, because there's a lot of video games where someone's telling you what the heck to do.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
And in TV, you also have the people that are like, enhance, bring up bring up the video. You need to tap into the hacking mainframe. Hit the button.
Oh my gosh.
Abort.
Oh my gosh. We have to tell our listeners how, like, Mikey and I are both graphic designers, and we're very proficient in Photoshop, and sometimes some people we work for, and I'm not talking about the direct company we work for. We love you, but we've worked many places.
Yes.
And sometimes some people think that Photoshop can't actually do that type of stuff. And we've had to let people down and being like, yeah, it doesn't work that way.
I've got this closed circuit camera footage. Can we just enhance it to 4K and just see who this is? Sure. Here's the three buttons. Boop, boop, boop.
I remember watching, I think, Castle once, Nathan Fillion show.
Yep.
And they like use some closed circuit footage on the street. And they looked at a side mirror to get the reflection of the person. And they did the enhance thing. And it was like, you were looking in a mirror in your bathroom. I was like, are you kidding me? Oh my gosh.
There are, I know it happened. It's happened before. I can't think of the specific name, but it may have been Bones, but there are a couple shows out there that will address that and be like, we need to enhance it. And the tech guy will be like, this is the best we're going to do. I'm sorry. Yeah. We can't do that. That only happens in TVs and movies.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? You might be right. It might've been, wait.
Did Castle do it? I think Castle did it the other way. Like,
yeah, I think you might have been right. I think Castle did it the other way. I don't know. I can't remember. It seems like something that would happen on an Nathan Fillion show.
Oh, but that's one of my favorite TV tropes is when that stuff happens. It's such a great bit.
So, yeah. Anyway. But yeah, let us know if you remember that in Castle and which way it went.
Yeah. Correct us.
Yeah, correct us. You can always correct us, even if your name is Scooter Shabazz. Yep. You can hit us up on all our social medias at AssumingPod. Or you can Gmail us, assumingpositions@gmail.com. We want to thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you're being safe out there in this wild, crazy world. We want to thank you for listening. We want to thank that guy, Brad, for doing our announcing, Not Scott Productions for our equipment, Jazzar for our music, and we hope you all have a great week.
Now step on it. We got to get out of here.
Rock for turn.
Rock for turn.
Screech.
Oh.